Hello and welcome to Nakubo in Brief, a podcast from the National Association of College and University Business Officers. On this series, we explore the opportunities and challenges facing the Higher Education Business Office. I'm Brian Dixon, Nakubo's Director of Student Financial Services and Educational Programs. And on this episode, we're going to take a look at student choice and how that relates to student outcomes. And we're looking at that through the lens of international students and their payment methods. And when I hear both of those things, I immediately think of our friend Sharon Butler, Executive Vice President of Global Education at Flywire. Sharon, welcome to Nakubo in Brief, and thanks for being here with us.
Thank you so much, Brian. I'm excited to be here, and I'm glad when you think of international students and payments, you think of me.
Absolutely. So with that, then perhaps for the benefit of our listeners, Sharon, maybe you could just give just a real quick introduction. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Flywire for that matter.
Okay. Well, I'd love to. My name is Sharon Butler. I'm the Executive Vice President of Global Education at Flywire. And I guess an interesting fact is that I am also one of the founding members of Flywire. So way back in 2010, end of 2010, connected with an international MIT student who had a really bad payment experience, but true to the entrepreneurial spirit of MIT, he wanted to solve it and make it better. And so we joined forces, and then here we are, all these years later, 14 or so years later, and we have grown the company to serving over 3,000 clients, millions of students, working with institutions all over the world. We initially started the business solving the complexity of international payments. Where we've grown from there is that we offer just a really great experience for all students now, and we solve for the full comprehensive receivable at universities. We are experts in international payments. We've built this proprietary global payments network, really lots of hard miles, building a network that is filled, a marketplace filled with really local and excellent ways for international students to pay from their country perspective. And at the end of the day, what we're doing is allowing students to pay locally, ensuring that they're not just moving money, but we're also ensuring that all of the crucial paperwork that they need to securely move that money to the institution and get the discounted rate because they're going to education. And then we settle locally with institutions so that they can easily reconcile their payments. So we're solving both sides of the equation here, but years behind this, thoughtfully building this network and the software that makes the world go round. We always say that software adds value in payments. And so it's not just this proprietary network, but it's the software layer that we've built that provides a really good experience for both the student and the institution.
Flywire recently completed a study titled Unlocking the Door to Higher Ed, and it looks at, again, global students and how they pay for tuition. And I guess I'm just going to, jump right to it here. What did you all find? What is this door that you're unlocking, and how do we unlock it, I guess?
Yeah, and I'm really great. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. And as you know, working for Nakubo, research and on getting awareness from our students and what's happening in the market is so crucial. We don't claim to know everything, but we certainly will do the investment in research to figure things out. And so we commissioned a study. It was a third-party research study, and we surveyed over 1,800 international students and across 9 countries. We really wanted to learn more about their payment behaviors, right? You just don't fine-tune and get things right without the payer feedback. And, we learned an awful lot there, mainly, and I don't think this was much of a surprise, but 4 out of the 5 students said they needed help affording their education. Now, I will call this out because historically, institutions would look to international students as, help filling the gap, not just for diversity, but for filling the gap for revenue and paying tuition. And they were always like great payers. And I'm not saying that they're not, but the affordability is now impacting those international students. You're seeing recruitment from all over the globe, not just in China and India, but you see students wanting to access education, higher education in the U.S. and other markets more so than ever. In fact, the number of international students come to the U.S. is increasing year over year. And they need help too, right? I see this. So I think it's important to educate institutions on them understanding that this group of students, this cohort, is looking for help affording education. And they're also looking for more flexibility in payment options. It's not unusual for us to offer payment plans for domestic students, right? It is not common, though, to offer them for international students. And I think that we need to start looking at these group of students as needing some of the tools that we offer to domestic students as well. So this flexibility and the support, these affordability issues, they're similar to what we're seeing with domestic students as well. But just hearing it from them within this research, them expressing a need for financial assistance at the time of application and concerns about affordability was enlightening to us.
Maybe we can take a step back here, Sharon. What is the overarching problem what are the overarching challenges with international payments? I mean, what are the issues for those students and families trying to pay, and also for the colleges and universities receiving those payments? Kind of what's the disconnect there?
Well, there's a lot of complexities in international payments, and that really why our business grew so quickly. But what you're usually looking at is it's definitely a two-sided problem. As an international payer, the complexities will differ based on where you're paying from. So there's always the, hey, what are my methods to pay, right? And there's always this idea that they might have questions, but to reach an institution during their waking hours doesn't always reconcile. So there's that service level that can be a challenge for students as well, and a challenge for institutions to serve them. Typically, a student will, depending on, their provider, I'm, very proud of Flywire because we offer hundreds of options when it comes to international students. We give them lots of choice within that proprietary global network, and it's really built locally so that it solves some of these complexities that we're talking about. So if I'm a student from China and I want to pay one of these U.S. institutions, I essentially need to get U.S. dollar to the institution in the U.S. So what Flywire does is we collect locally for the student, like offer them a very local, easy, identifiable way to pay. And then we settle locally to the institution. So we are the provider in the middle that is solving the complexities of things like doing currency exchange, right? Being able to track your payment instead of sending a wire and wondering where it went. And we connect both sides of the table so that the student gets a better experience and we overcome a lot of those challenges, and the school gets to have the transparency of everything. So the main challenges with international payments is really that you're trying to collect one reconciled payment as an institution, but the payments that are coming in are coming from all over the world in markets that will have their own compliance, their own tax specifics, their own regulations. And so if you're trying to serve these students and oversee all of that, it gets very difficult. A lot of people, think about payments and they think, oh, all you have to do is go online and hit a payment button. It isn't that easy, especially if you want to offer choice. You need to offer them really viable local options so that they can save time and money. But the other important thing is that there are certain requirements, documentation requirements that international students have to navigate. And it can be very difficult, when they're trying to figure out how do I pay, and money gets stuck because they needed to issue a tax form or some kind of claim form or some information from institutions. And so all of that goes into making a payment from another country. And so it's really important when you're making decisions for your students that you have a really good understanding of the solutions that you're offering and the level of service it provides. I mean, we've had to spend an awful lot of investment on a call center that is 24/7 around the clock, all multilingual. And you might say, well, why that? Because students are making payments, right? Like, what's so hard about it? Because it's a big ticket item and it's scary and nervous a lot of times because these are big payments, right? And they sometimes just want to ask, hey, is this going to be okay? Or where is my money? So we have to really support things like that. So I think when you have to run an around the clock call center to support international payers, I think it speaks volumes to a lot of the uneasiness and concerns that they can have.
This is fascinating, Sharon. So as I think about this, though, right, international students are not just looking for simple payments for tuition, right? So I guess what did this research that you conducted, what did that find as it relates to this?
One of the things that the research did find is that sometimes it can be confusing to navigate the best ways to pay because a lot of times there's a lot of options out there. Like I think, you know, in general, people think like, let's just throw a lot of stuff at them because it's showing that we care and we offer choice. But what we're seeing in our research is that actually, too much choice can create a lot of confusion and basically payment paralysis, right? Which choice, which one should I pick? Oh, no, maybe if I pick this one, it won't be the right one. And so when we talk about choice as it relates to international payments, because of the complexity of them, because of the need for even that extra support that the student might need, offering choice there, even though many schools might think they're doing right by the student, it actually, according to research, creates a lot of stress because they're looking for guidance. That's the number one thing we hear is that they're actually looking for guidance. The other complexity that it creates is that you can also create a lot more work on the institution side, right? You have to reconcile more vendors. Student might call and ask what's going on with international payment. You might get some confusion there. And I think at the same time, you want students to have the best opportunity, right? We want them to feel like they have really, really good options, but it's important to do the due diligence and really dig into what is the experience for the student from the time they go to pay and the interactions that they have. And then how can we, rather than just throw a lot of spaghetti on the wall, make that the best experience possible for the student rather than just, you know, thinking more of, let me just give more options.
How do you reconcile the two concepts of, you know, students saying, right, that they want flexibility, but also students saying, hey, I don't want to be confused. I don't want too many options here. I mean, It doesn't sound like you're talking, you know, necessarily in favor of, you know, eliminating choice, right? But so much as limiting it, is that, am I hearing you correctly?
I think, yes, that's what I'm saying. If you look at the feedback in the research, the students are looking for guidance and they're looking for some flexibility. And, you know, and I think that if you do introduce complexity when you offer choice, right? Particularly if you're not managing it effectively. Some potential challenges that I mentioned is that decision paralysis. Too many options can overwhelm a user and lead to that decision paralysis. Oh, no, what do I do now? And, you know, the confusion. And then, like, you know, security concerns and this administrative burden. So what I'm suggesting is that we have to be more thoughtful about the options and how we offer students to pay, and that because it is a big decision for them, that you want to make sure you have a provider, not just any provider, that you do your due diligence on your providers and make sure they have those really best ways to pay locally that are supported by, if there's questions, that they can be an extension of your campus, and that you need to make sure you have those best local options that are identifiable by the student. So basically what I'm saying is that we can't just throw out choices, that they should be vetted and validated against what those priorities should be. And because just choice can cause a lot of confusion for students. And one thing we do know is, because we do also work with a lot of in market, we have teams in market at Flywire, and they're always talking to the students and to the education recruitment agents. And they're looking to be, hey, tell me how I should do this. What's the best way to handle it? And so if institutions don't have that time to advise, they should make sure that whatever choice they're offering is going to be able to have that type of service for the student and family.
Okay. So then, you know, now the gears start going in my head, right? I'm thinking about other, I know this could be dangerous, right? Other campus operations where consumers are involved. I mean, can this apply there? I mean, as I start thinking, you know, are these, right, this kind of curated menu of options versus, you know, an inordinate amount of ways, you know, this kind of selected small group of choices that the school has vetted, as you say, you know, are there ways that this kind of, this concept can kind of address other, you know, challenges that higher education is facing right now? And there are no shortage of those. You know, we're talking about enrollment challenges, the enrollment cliff, very savvy consumers, all of that. I mean, does this kind of concept, this bigger idea, could you see that kind of being applied elsewhere in campus operations?
I think the most important thing to be focused on within the campus operations is to understand the student experience and the decisions you are making when it comes to your operation. And a lot of times we lose sight of that, right? It just might mean you might just see something on a surface level, but to really understand, like, whether it's someone paying, I don't know, I can't think of anything else, but beyond tuition, but, you know, if they're even going into some kind of an e-store, they're purchasing something on campus. It's just that, how do we make it easy? And how do you just want to reduce the friction as much as possible. And that's really what the research says is guidance, but reduce that friction in the decision-making process. Because when you're surrounded by choices, you know, you want students to have good options, you know, the very best that they can have, but they also need the peace of mind that knowing that you're looking out for their best interest from anything from that experience to security as well.
Yeah. Well, and right. This does sound like it fits in to, you know, this kind of, you know, I like what you said, you know, reduce friction, you know, the good options. This totally fits into the desire, the aim of higher education institutions, colleges and universities, you know, to provide that excellent customer service, customer care, right? I mean, with so many campuses really pride themselves on those operations. I don't know if you could talk just a little bit more about that kind of fitting into this broader customer service model, hey, Brian, you've got it.
I think you nailed it. What we're seeing is we have to think a little bit more about the experience of the student. I think we have to think about, we want to do what's best for them. So maybe just offering lots of options seems like in maybe a good gut move. But what we're seeing is that, you know, it's, you know, what we're hearing from students is that 3 out of 4 students said having fewer payment providers for education expenses would make their payment process earlier. So when you get the voice of the student, you're hearing that the way things are happening now are quite confusing, and they want to be like, just go ahead and pay and not have to like do research on everything that's in front of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But I think, right, the kind of the obvious kind of caveat to that for, you know, institutions is, don't just trim down the options down to, you know, 1 or 2 or whatever that number is for you, just because, right? And I think you've said this already, is do your homework. look into this. This should be a bigger conversation, and not just eliminating to eliminate, but really getting at those methods, options that work for your students, because you know your students and you know what they're looking for.
Right. Looking for balance. Like if I have a payment option that inherently offers choice, that's one of the things Flywire does, is you enter. And once you're in, there's all kinds of choices that exist for the payer themselves. But even compare those and make sure you do your due diligence on that solution and the experience. And then when it comes, you know, and then if there things are equal and supportive, then, you know, ask yourself, do you still need to offer choice? If you do, just make sure you're evaluating these options, not just from the lens of here's another option, but is it a viable option? Is it going to add more value to what we're doing currently today? Is there anything inherently that we should be concerned about? Will this cause confusion for the student? And I think if you go through that process, you'll be in a good position to be able to help your students, international students especially.
Solid vendor management advice for colleges and universities. So I mean, and we're nearing our time here today, Sharon. But you know, I guess you know, at the end of the day, this is we're talking here kind of broadly, but your research and why you did it was, you know, obviously about getting students to pay. That was the goal. But you know, the broader kind of theme here is flexibility, but you know, again, that kind of curated researched approach. So all that to say, we've been talking now for, you know, 20 something odd minutes now. But this sounds like, you know, a really, complex, interesting, a simple but complex kind of conversation here. So I guess I want to give you kind of the last word here, Sharon. Are there any kind of final thoughts, takeaways, for our listeners as we conclude our time here on this episode?
I would just say that, you know, I've always said that I think education deserves more innovation. And I, you know, do think we need to also think a little harder about how we serve our international payers as well. And don't be confused or pressured into just offering lots of choices. Do the research and make sure you look at things from the student experience. Really go dive in and, you know, be the student so that I consider that the best way to help students in general. And we will continue to ask lots of questions, not only from the research we do with our students, but we spend an awful lot of time on our Flywire advisory boards. And I'm always open to anybody that wants to have a chat and catch up, including you, Brian.
Hey, fair enough. I may take you up on that for sure, Sharon. But I think you're right. You know, keeping students at top of mind here, always a solid plan for this. So, what a great note to go out on. So that is actually, again, all the time that we have, for this episode. I want to thank you, Sharon, for being here with us. This was a great conversation and really informative.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. Thanks, Brian.
All right. And as always, thank you to all of our listeners. We hope that you tell a friend or a colleague about this podcast so that they and you can both join us on the next episode of Nakubo in Brief. Take care, everyone.